Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and in this edition, we will be exploring consciousness. And today, to help me explore it, I am delighted to have with me Nona Gehrig, Nona for a few years now. She's a remarkable lady. She grew up in the Soviet Union, and she is the founder of Extraordinary Life, a wellness consultant, and an energy healer, as well as being a professional cellist, which is pretty remarkable. So, Nona, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Howard. Nice to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And the reason I invited Nona, well, you'll hear as we move through this discussion on consciousness. Now, let me start from sort of my perspective. I mean, consciousness obviously is a concept that has endlessly been discussed and researched for centuries, and there's still not necessarily a total understanding of what it is. But at core level, consciousness is an awareness, a perception of external things and internal things. Those are the obvious concepts around consciousness. We have a system, a mind-body, that is able to and is made to interpret things, and then we are given access, for the most part, although we'll see that changes, given access to that awareness. Now, what we do with it and what we think about it is a totally different thing. But so that's what's at its core level consciousness is, the ability to be aware and perceive of things. And there's variations on that. There's something called preconscious, which was a Freudian term he used for memories and experience we had that existed just below consciousness, but could easily be elicited at any time. And then there was the subconscious, things and feelings that existed that were below consciousness and weren't influencing us in a way that we understood. So those are the kind of four issues. And when we dive down further, we find there is a lot more to this than simply being aware. And that's why I wanted Nona to join us today. Her work in energy healing and a whole variety of other related topics is remarkable. And she herself has had and helped other people have amazing experiences of consciousness. So, Nona, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited. It's a very needed and complicated topic, the consciousness. To me, consciousness is the same as, to elevate consciousness, it's the same as to align with your soul. And when we want to elevate the consciousness, we have to get to know our soul. So the steps are, to me, they are the same. It's incorporates into itself everything, water, food we eat, environment, conversations we have, and of course our emotions, our everyday emotions, things we see on TV, books we read, signs we have going outside and watching. It all affects our consciousness, because after all, talking about soul or consciousness, I will use it like together. It's all about energy. If we have low energy, everything is low. And if we are to elevate the soul consciousness, we need to elevate our vibrations. So higher the vibrational frequencies will get us into higher megahertz. Think about the engine, you know, or refrigerator or earthquake. There are different levels of vibrational energy. And of course, I love the map of consciousness by David Hawkins. And before him, there were some other scientists that came up with the same idea. They gave a specific measurements in megahertz. Even though Wikipedia said that it's only person's energy could be measured in hertz, like between 5 and 15, I think. But those scientists, they were proving by kinesiology, by testing, and by specific, like far infrared tools, different tools, they use the real scientific tools that indicated in a map of consciousness that different emotions have different amount of vibrational frequencies. And interesting that the shame, which we would think that someone would think, oh, I'm so shy and I'm ashamed of myself, that's the lowest of lowest, and that's the 20 megahertz. As you go higher, it's 150, 500, the highest for the average human being who is highly elevated, but not very super human. Now, it could be 500 and 1,000 and 1,500. And with my group, with the friends, we were trying, we had fun with it. We were trying to meditate deeply and measure and really request to have our vibrations get elevated. And we could see that we could get to 2,500, to 3,000, to 5,000. And for 10 days, I was practicing specifically on that. I was able to get to 2,600, to 26,000.
Wow.
So it's all in our power. I'm not a superhuman. And that's what I think. Once we keep our traditionally accepted good qualities, think of love, think of joy.
Absolutely. Yep.
And elevate, it's saying simply.
Yep. And that's, if you're interested, that table of consciousness is really, I think, illuminating. Right at the top, the energies are love, peace,
joy.
Joy.
Joy. No, joy.
Yeah, joy. And then all the things we think of as sort of good behaviors, gratitude, humility, forgiveness, all those are really high. And then you get to the lower end of the table, and then you're into things like frustration, anger, and as you say, right at the bottom, very low energy, guilt, and shame. And that is so, I think, informative. Because people think of, well, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I got a lot of energy. It's the wrong
energy. Yeah, that's the wrong energy.
It's the wrong energy. And so having the right energy goes with, as Nona says, goes with those behaviors that we think of as those are good moral behaviors, which means that if you practice them, it's not just about being a good person. It is about having much greater access, perhaps being aware and conscious of things that other people aren't, right?
Right, but after all, like as I'm refreshing again, love is at 500, then joy at 540, and the highest, the perfect, peace. You know, we all need peace. So after all, it's not a booming, vibrant energy that you go out of your mind, happy, right, like a football game, or you're totally in a drama at the cemetery trying to fall down the grave. It's not. It's actually even peace.
Right. Peace. Which is sort of runs counter to what I think a lot of people would think of. Because when they do think of energy, they think of emotional drive and anger and all that. And that is the actual opposite. And so what that's saying is our consciousness, our awareness is lifted when we get into those states.
And when religious people say they wish you peace and joy, that's the highest, or joy and peace would be even correct. Yeah, it brings you up to 700. Yeah,
Yeah.
and to enlightenment, you need to be like 1,000. You know,
Right. But
it's really powerful.
just the concept of it is very important, I think, and very illuminating. The right energy does amazing things, makes you more aware. And this is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, right at the top. And this doesn't get sometimes presented because this happened just before he died and therefore didn't get a lot of coverage. He added the fifth stage, sixth stage, transcendence, which is what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Drop your ego and enter into, have the access to a different world, right?
Right. Like accept the death and joy equally. You know, that's where peace is.
Yes. And one of the things that your work has shown is that you can be conscious of some amazing things when you're at that level.
With my husband unexpectedly passed, as you know, like 4 years ago. And I thought to myself, even though it was shocking, unexpected, out of the blue, he was in great health. Everybody said, oh, you have to go for grief counseling. And I thought, you know, I'm counseling other people. I'm sure that I can deal with it myself and I could get myself out from there. Of course, I was crying the whole year and I was waiting for him to come back. Because I read the books that really exist and witnesses that people do come back and not as babies. But it's a different topic for the different story. So I personally witnessed what was happening during the time I spent in solitude, time I spent watching near-death experiences, meditating. I was hardly coming out of the house. I had to go for work. But most of the time, I was by myself. I had plenty of time to meditate, to connect with my spirit guides, with angels, archangels, everybody, you know. And every night, I started to see such profound dreams. It was like a daydreaming. I couldn't even accept that it was a dream because I had very vivid conversations with my husband. I could literally see him in my bed. I could feel his heavy arm on me. I'm sure that a lot of people who I would talk to would think that I'm already crazy, and some would say, "Nona, you need help." I said, "I am help. I am that person who gives help." So anyway, one of those dreams, of course, I knew that it's my husband, and I was absolutely aware that it's not my imagination because I had a guilty feeling. We talk about that with him toward my mother-in-law who passed years before. And I always saw that living my life as adult with my son married and being myself, mother-in-law, I experience certain things that you experience when you have even with the best daughter-in-law. It's still not the same as your daughter. And he knew, I saw that it's because I did not do as much as I had to toward my mother-in-law. And I was begging by myself in meditations a long time. After she passed, I begged for forgiveness and I was communicating. But then one of those vivid dreams was my husband came back to me. He got in a car and we were driving toward my son's backyard. I was panicking that my son will see him unexpectedly and he will freak out. But then when we came, I realized that we are not coming to really, like, we are going into a different dimension because it was different people. There was a table set in the backyard of my son's house. And all these people and little kids who obviously knew me, I didn't know them. And they were so happy. There was so much love. And unbelievable hospitality. I felt like I am in heaven already, which I literally was. And then from the back of the corner of the backyard, I see my mother-in-law comes in. And the same way, oh, we have to sit down, everything will get cold, like typical her. And I thought to myself, oh no, it's something strange. She's not supposed to be here because we are in a different dimension with my husband is in my dimension, but she could not be here. So when she came, we hugged. And then she said, let's go sit down. And I suddenly started to feel the burst of, how to say it, sadness and crying. I was crying. It wasn't a normal cry. It was like a roar. And I was saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I couldn't even speak. And she said, what are you sorry about? What are you sorry about? I said, "That was that I wasn't a good daughter-in-law. And she said, what are you talking about? You were great. I said, no, no, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? I said that we didn't, maybe because we didn't call more often, maybe because we didn't come more often, maybe because we didn't tell you that, I didn't tell you that I love you as much as I would want to say, because it was not in our habit, the way we grew up in Soviet Union, there was no mushy-mushy, you know, things. And as I was crying, when finally all this burst of or roar was coming out of my chest and stomach, it's like a huge ball, and tears were like running all over. And then I was holding her hands, she was holding mine, and after I finally exhaled, she started to diminish, like to the size of like 5 years old. And she was going down, I was going down with her on my knees, and it ended up on the ground. And she turned into a 5 years old girl. I'm still trying to determine, was it something from her past or something? It definitely wasn't me from the past. I don't know. But the thing is that after that, when everybody said, let's sit down to the table, suddenly my husband said that, you know, Nonchik, that's how he called me, you have to go. And when he said, you have to go, I realized that he is not coming with me, and where I am, it's not where he would be. And it was kind of sad, but there was no time to discuss. And at that moment, I said, oh my God, I am really not that he came back to me. I went to his dimension. And that's the word that came to me like never before. We could talk, oh, you are in a different dimension. But I always saw that I'm communicating with angels, archangels, and someone who is up there in the sky. And after that, I went by myself. When I woke up, I was all, how I know that I was at the elevated stage of consciousness, the state, because my whole body was vibrating like if I would be connected to the electricity, you know. I felt great in terms of even talking about that. I feel like I'm exhaling. It was such a load, all that guilt that I was carrying. And guilt was the second worst in terms of low energy. Let me look. Absolutely horrible.
That's a great story with a lot of implication that we will get to. Right now, let's take a short break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hi, and welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Norna Gehrig about consciousness. And in the end of that first section, she was talking about her experience led her to being conscious that her guilt towards her mother-in-law, maybe other sources of guilt, was unjustified. And she was able to see that in a completely different way, which was incredibly therapeutic. And I think that is important. A lot of time with coaching or therapy, you are trying to get people's awareness of a topic. You're trying to change it. You're trying to elevate the energy, in Nona's terms, from guilt to, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I shouldn't feel guilt. And that is incredibly freeing. So consciousness is awareness, but it doesn't mean that awareness is 100% accurate. It's a feeling. And a lot of the time it is not accurate or is much more sophisticated than it appears to be. And I think that's very important. Now, there's one thing I want to lead into the next thing is probably a lot of people, maybe some, have had an experience that they can't really explain how that happened, because unlike you, Norna, this does not happen to us on a regular basis. So I've had a couple of experiences like that fairly recently, not quite as dramatic as what Norna was saying, but I was taking a walk one afternoon, and it just suddenly popped into my mind. I was not thinking about this, and that is important. This doesn't follow a train of thought. My experience is it just comes out of nowhere. And what came out of nowhere was, oh, the theater where we had tickets for a show that evening, oh, the theater's just called us to tell us the show's canceled. That just popped right into my head out of nowhere. So I finished my walk, I get home, and I say to my wife, did the theater call? She said, no, what are you talking about? Oh, okay. So in the evening, we drive to the theater. We get there and the parking lot looks empty, and we go up to the box office and they say, oh, didn't you know we tried to call you? The show's been canceled because two of the actors are sick. Where did I get that from? You know, I mean, it just defies typical explanation. And I've had a couple of those. And what that means is that we have the potential to lock into and to be aware of things that normally we would not think about, right?
The synchronicity. Oh, I'm trying to get.
That's good. Synchronicity.
The synchronicity is around us, always around us, you know, and we just have to pay attention. And those little whispers, I notice, not like loud voice, but some whisper, almost like a cloud, the same with the thought. If suddenly thought will come in, like I had to go to the store to pick up some stuff just yesterday. I was driving, who knows where, like 40 minutes. I knew the day's supposed to be open till 4 o'clock. It was 3. I came, and I had a whisper. Maybe I should call. Ah, no, it's not even a weekend. I was driving all the way. Of course, there was some sign, had to leave closed. Yeah, so that's the whisper. So many times we hear tiny, it's not allowed, yelling, screaming. Mm-hmm. It's just like a cloud passing by. And that's what we have to pick up. And that's when we have to be open to hear. And that's when solitude helps a lot, when you're in solitude. That's my understanding of how to reach that state of elevation, you know, for the...
That is a very interesting point, Nana, because in that example I gave, and another one that happened, I actually was just out walking. So I wasn't surrounded by noise. I wasn't really thinking about anything.
Yeah.
You know, if I'd been at home and the TV had been on or stuff, I don't think I would have got that. So you're absolutely right. That silence and stillness.
Right. And when people say, oh, I can't hear anything, but then go to the woods, go to the beach, just simple walking. That's when I know that if I go for a walk, for me, it's time with my thoughts and that's it. I love that. And that's when the best ideas come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're excluding the internal voice that suddenly starts arguing about something and it's like three of you already. So it's exactly like it's a silent, almost silent whisper.
But that's a good point about creativity, and that's sort of what we're talking about here, just being aware of things that normally would be beyond consciousness. And if you put yourself in that mental state, whether that's meditation, mindfulness, going for a walk, what have you, if you put yourself in those states, that's when that's most likely to happen. But if you're busy, right?
I often hear from people, oh, I'm in a corporate world and I know by myself also how it could be. It's so stressful. I have no time. I can't. How can I be? And I always have certain exercises like for my clients. And I say, if you could find, you know, like medical professionals in a hospital, they will always find that some hospitals even have that quiet room where they could sit and relax, or someone who watched Grey's Anatomy. Or even if you are in a busy environment, you could run to your car if you have your lunchtime or 15 minutes to spare. Get into the car and close the eyes and visualize that, you know, I have that exercise I like to do, elevator. You get up in the skies, and then when you get out of the elevator, you're at the beach or whatever, if you love the mountains or mountaintop or woods. That's usually how you could spare 15 minutes and get yourself in that calming state so you could go back and be smiley face and smile to your boss and all the anger goes away.
Yes, it's amazing what you can access when you get into that state.
Right.
Isn't it? I mean, yeah. You would know that more than...
Also, I like the idea of being surrounded by stage of nothingness, not only solitude, but nothingness. It's harder to do when your brains are all wired and you keep your arguments with a coworker or neighbor or whoever, or a spouse. Looking and concentrating, if you have flowers, if you have fruits, look at something or at the picture that, you know, like seeing a baby with totally bring the smile to your face and try to concentrate on that and be like a baby, like smiley baby. So, because nothingness is never about nothing. If there is nothing, it's something will fill it in. That internal voice or arguments will step in. And also, I like the third thing besides solitude and nothingness, it's a clearing of the space. The less stuff you have, all the material stuff, like in Feng Shui, absorb the energy. Everything is energy, and we know. And water and air we breathe, and plants. So staring at the plant could be most, a minimum that is available probably for everybody. If you would be intentional and will buy a little plant, a little flower, and put it in front of yourself, I think a lot of corporations and the workplaces will allow, or even maybe have already something green, something life, something that is alive, will help you to get that into that space.
Yeah, and so what that implies is that all of us have a capacity for a greater level of consciousness and awareness if we are able to, in the physical world, remove the metaphorical and physical clutter right? And
Right,
get to a
right.
space of openness and tranquility and peace, and then who knows what you can suddenly be aware of.
Right. And sometimes also I know that having a candle and staring at the top of the candle. Oh, I saw such an amazing. Oh, I have to tell you. I know it. I have to tell you when, again, after my husband's passing, that was the biggest gift, if I could say now, after crying for 2 years. I was using the candle to concentrate on my life, my work. And then I even recorded that with the video, little tea candle, you know, that flat one, white flat. And I was talking to my angels and archangels, and I was talking to my husband, and I said, and maybe if you are listening to me, at least you could do something for me and help me with this and that. And suddenly I see that flame start to turn like a little heart, and it's vibrating, and it turns, and it's kind of loses the shape, and then it's a heart. I have it. Yeah. Can you believe that? And it was red. It was red in a white candle, and this little tea, you know, the candle. It's just mind-blowing. But the whole thing is because I did not hold grudges. I wasn't angry at him. It was nice to communicate because I knew that anytime we want to, we could talk to. You don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to be a channeler. And also what I want to talk about, the consciousness, as we were discussing, the results we get with the energy healing, you know, and again, as I incorporate all the different modalities into working on removing those emotions, first of all, identifying, recognizing, and clearing. So those things people can do themselves, you know. And if we have time, I could talk maybe about my client Sharon, who had the cancer.
Yes.
We have time? Yeah. Okay. So we used to play in the orchestra together. She used to be my partner every summer in the summer orchestra that is usually in the park. And 1 year she was not there, and during the intermission she kept running toward me. And in the past she knew that I'm dealing with all this voodoo stuff, some healing supplements, health and wellness, but she wasn't much into that. And I didn't see her for a few first few concerts, and I was wondering where she is because she usually there for several years we worked together. And suddenly she runs toward me during the intermission, and she was wearing some kind of hat or beret, and it was summer, hot summer. And I immediately saw that there is something there. And then, of course, she told me quickly that she has very bad breast cancer, and the lump is the size of a big goose egg of a goose, and that they intend to do all the things, to remove everything, to do radiation and chemo and everything. And she said, and I remember that you told me that you can do something, some voodoo stuff like energy healing or whatever, or supplements. Can you do this for me? And as much as I was afraid to go into that direction with all my energy healing, when someone was asking, and I couldn't refuse. And I said, you know, I can't promise anything, but it's supposed to work usually, if it works, between immediate for 3 weeks. So we still have time. So hopefully we will be able to produce some benefits before your next MRI and the surgery or whatever they were supposed to do. So I met with her at home, even though I could do the energy healing on the distance. I could do it in Israel or in Italy or in Australia. But I went home because she was from my hometown. And of course, her house was so cluttered. People did not have in mind, you know, things about cleaning, clearing, whatever. And she told me all the drama that she has, and those people are annoying. Neighbor is bothering her, and every time wants something, and mom and sister, and they all completely like devastate. She was devastated with her life and with the environment, the only husband who was supportive. So besides that, I was doing the energy healing. We had conversations before that, and I gave her assignments. and her husband to clear little by little the space where she is, and gave her a questionnaire, and we were going through her life, like through early childhood, what she's unhappy about. If, okay, neighbor, okay, sister, she wants this, and the kids want, whatever else. And then she was telling me the story how we finally got into that she was not loved, she was shameful, whatever they claimed that she should be ashamed of herself, because when she was young, her father molested her. And I don't know if anybody really was ashamed of her, but I understand that it's a blame she put on herself, like I put on myself the guilt. And that's what she lived with through her life. And every time, every negative comment or demands, she was experiencing like repeated confirmation of the ridiculous label that she put on herself. It was about shame. And of course, the combination of that clutter in her system and in her environment, in her brains, you know, caused all this. And she was getting fat, so not the proper nutrition, so hormonal imbalances, it all comes together. When we did all this digging, and finally I was, you know, absolutely humbled that, you know, people are telling me things like that, but for her it also was like a discovery. And I did the energy healing. It was very powerful. Her husband was sitting over there, even though he was such an unbeliever. But I think even he could see what I saw, and person who I doing the healing for not necessarily needs to know or believe. The energy does its work on its own. It's not like it's my energy. It God's energy, her angels, archangels. And as I was doing that energy healing, she even could see like a rainbow. And I could see how the huge, you know, ball of dark energy was coming out as we were working. And as it was clearing, I could see the rainbow too. So it's interesting that person who never did anything, never believed, and she didn't see the ball of darkness or whatever I could see, and visions of crying child and the abuses that she went through. Those are things that sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. But she could see the rainbow, which was amazing. So needless to say, I met with her a few more times through those 3 weeks. By the time she needed to do another test before the surgery, before everything, and MRI, and when they had the meeting, and she texted me after that, you can't believe what happened. It worked. They were looking, they couldn't find anything. So a few times they hesitated and they said, okay, are we sure we have the right person's x-rays or MRI, whatever. And they were running around. So then they had to, they had like a consilium. They added people from the Cleveland Clinic, also some doctor there, and they were all looking and comparing. And they said they couldn't understand where did it go, the size of egg. So needless to say, there was no chemo, there was no radiation, but they still decided to do surgery, but not really a surgery, clean the lymph nodes and see what is out there, still to see if they need to take biopsy, if they need to do something and to find. So it's needless to say, that was amazing, because I couldn't even believe that, because they went in, everything was clean. And she already had like 5 years mark. It was already a couple of years ago, so probably by now. Seven, she's still alive, and her prognosis were horrible. And that's a miracle.
Yes, that's a great story.
And she even wrote the amazing, I think on my colnona.com, on my website, I have her
testimonial.
Yes, the testimonial. It's still like a most amazing till today. I had a lot of other ones, but that was like a most amazing. And what was it? It was shame. Again, we're talking the lowest.
Yeah.
And when also the confirmation, things like that happened, not only when the emotion is so drastically low, of energy. It's also a combination of things.
Yes, absolutely.
Negative and then clutter,
right.
And then
right.
No balanced diet. It's all packaged.
Right, exactly. And then you are able to change her perception and her awareness so that she was then coherent. And coherence heals. Yeah.
She had to do her work. She had to meet with her.
Absolutely.
I have a neighbor called and said, I would want you to run down and sit with whatever, without even asking. Or she had to make a call intentional and say that, you know what, I don't feel comfortable, and say learn to say no and explain why, and just to keep your boundaries.
Yep.
And she did the same with her mother, and she did the same with her sister. And she said, you know, I love you. I don't care what you would think, but there is no longer I need to think about myself to bring myself into balance. And after that, so she definitely elevated herself above any cancerous and degenerative diseases. That's what higher elevation of vibration does and higher consciousness.
Yeah, I think I think one of the things that it does is that it creates coherence in the system, which then gives the system, our mind, body, a ton of energy, which then can be healing, and it actually heals, and it maximizes the immune system to do its job. So thank you for that. A great story. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be right back for the last part of this great conversation. We'll be right
back. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. I've been talking with Nona Garrick about consciousness, and she's given some great examples of how we can get into the right state. All sorts of things become available to us. Now, not always are those perceptions accurate, and she gave a great example of healing where her friend was actually able to see things differently, get rid of not just physical clutter, but mental clutter too, and arrive at that state of openness and peace to the point where she was healed. And so this whole concept of consciousness is a complex one. And obviously we could even go deeper into that in terms of, well, what is possible for us to be aware of? How can we be conscious of that? Can we be conscious of a parallel universe? Can we be conscious of heaven or whatever? And your experience, Nona, suggests that we can, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. I also would like to talk about, if I can, or unless you have other questions, ask me a question and I will answer.
Please.
So we touched base about food we eat, the thoughts we think, and environment, solitude. But then what is also important, it's the people we associated with, groups. Who do we listen? Who do we trust? And even who do we judge, you know? Or are we there with some people that because they're longtime friends and we could see how polarized the whole society became lately in the last few years? And that's a perfect example. You know, people argue with family members. People are not talking to family members. They cut off all the relationship. And it's because either we tolerate and try to pretend that we accepting, so we lie to ourselves, or the other alternative, say I love you, but I don't want to participate. I have different vision, or I have different interests, and I love you. I don't want to argue with you, and that's why to cut off those communications, you know. Or if it's immediate family, it's still the same thing. Either we are talking about the weather and the movie and health of the kids or grandkids and how things are at work, or we don't talk at all because we are not discussing politics. And that's the last thing, should be also something that is infringed on us. I don't know. That word just came in, you know, excuse me. So I think that's a big one. What we are watching, who are we talking to? Because every day we could get up, if you run to your messaging system in the morning before you do your part meditations or whatever it could be, a prayer or walk in the surrounding area, to eliminate the possibility of someone dragging you down. Because if you don't do that, and you immediately, I know even by myself, if I forgot to turn off my phone and I'm running to see who is it, it's a habit. And then I see someone of my very close friends or clients that I know that they're asking for help, like right away and immediate. My first thing is, of course, I immediately start listening, and then I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to do? And I'm calling, and here we know that I didn't have breakfast, I didn't do my meditations and all the stuff that I need to keep going and keep my energy elevated and my consciousness so I could see clearly and help them. So that's a mistake, and I even have a little note, turn off your phone. And that's a very big thing today, because no matter, you could sit by yourself and your solitude is perfect and you could be in an empty room. But if you have your electronic stuff and you are immediately reacting, it's already drops you down pretty quickly. And then it's very hard to get up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think one of the important things that we've stressed in this conversation is you need to be in the right state of peace, relaxation, coherence. You need to be in that right state. And when you are, then a whole lot of other things that you otherwise would not sense can happen. And those could be amazing things, some of the things that you've talked about. But if you are totally absorbed with stuff, news, stuff on your phone, all of that, you are actually in a brain state, beta wave state, that won't allow you to be open, aware, and that conscious. It just won't. You've got to get to that different brain state of peace. When you do, amazing things can and do happen. And I think this is very important people to understand, because people have these experiences, once in a blue moon, and it's because once in a blue moon they were out of the normal stuff and they were in peace and quiet, and suddenly the system's able to receive all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. How it does that, all that, who knows? But that is important for us to understand.
And I have the testimonial about that too. With all this elevated state of consciousness and visions and everything, what I learned my first couple of years of my husband's passing, then my, excuse me, last year, you see, I'm trying to say something that may be not so flattering for me. My last year before I moved, you know, that I was moving from one state to another and selling the house. And that was a stressful time for me. So stressful that I lost weight, and I could not only do the healing for other people, I could not even meditate. I couldn't force myself even, I could not see the light. It's like literally. And my stomach started to hurt, and certain ailments from the past came back. until I was like in pieces. And finally, I think, you know what, the big help was that I started to go to the beach. Luckily, now I live close to the beach. So I started to go to the beach by myself, without friends, without anybody, and literally asking for guidance, looking at the sky, listening to the waves. And that's what really helped me. And then I got energy so I could exercise a little bit, so I could walk again. I used to walk 6, 8 miles, and here I couldn't get myself out of the couch, you know? So I am a living, breathing testimonial, because with all this highest level, like I thought I would be at 26,000 megahertz with my vibrational energy, I couldn't see the dream. I couldn't dream. I absolutely, that's a confirmation. It's so easy to drop, because I was dwelling. Okay, now I am alone. After 40 years, I am alone. I am alone. Okay, now he left me by myself. I was angry at him. So here we have Hazar, and we could see what is the, you know, level of vibrational energy, the anger, 150. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have papers for that now to look through. So that's a real confirmation. So it took efforts. Efforts need energy, you know? Any effort needs energy. So it's a combination of things. It's not eating at the countertop, you know, standing and looking in the window. It's until I started to keep, I almost have like a second plate for someone else, because I used to, for 40 years, I used to have dinner, or if not all the time, eat together. So that's the lessons you learn, and you do intentionally. You put those efforts one by one step at a time, like one box at a time, to remove the clutter. But clutter removal helps tremendously. When your brains cannot work, just do automatic. Do I love it? Do I keep it? Does it help me to bring money to do my work? Or if I don't need it for that and I don't love it and my favorite uncle gave me that thing, I don't have to keep it. Keep it in the basement. If someone comes, if an uncle comes back, put it on a, right, a table or on a shelf so he could see. Otherwise, take a picture, get rid of that. And the feng shui is working, not just by itself, but in combination. It's amazing work.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nona, for your insights today. If people want to reach you, where can they go to find you?
I have a website called nona.com, Extraordinary Life, and you could send me a message.
So call Nona, nona.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is, yep, your best point of contact. That's
right.
Great. Yes. Right. Well, thank you again so much for your insights, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure, as always, to talk to you and to all your lovely audience. And thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of